praying for you. I want to continue in the breakthrough series. If this is your first time to be with us this Sunday, I usually recap, but it would be a very long recap, so I'm just going to do past Sunday and this Wednesday. But we're talking about breakthrough, and we had last week we talked about being changed in an instant. That when God says it's time, and in an instant, things have to change, amen? And then the God of the breakthrough, speaking of Jesus, came out of the tomb and broke through everything so that we might know him, know his Father, and know his Spirit. This past Wednesday, I asked the question, what do you see? I hope everybody in this room understands and online that God is always speaking. He's always talking to his people. God is the one who will release the vision into our lives, and then it's up to us to pursue it. But today I want to talk to you about loving through the breakthrough. And I'm going to be using the story of Naomi and Ruth. I'm hoping that this is a way that I tell the story or that we go through it together that maybe you haven't heard in a while. But it's an incredible story of relationship. I truly believe that God is calling us all, everybody say all, all of us to be better at loving people through their breakthrough. I want to break down the story of Ruth real quickly. I'm going to basically kind of just talk a little bit from chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 15, and then we'll pick it up there. Elimelech and Naomi have left Bethlehem. Known as Bethlehem, if you don't know, this is the home of the bread. They've left that part of their land to go to the land of Moab. It's a time of famine and drought. And they go with their two sons. The scriptures say that they get to the land of Moab, and I don't know how much longer that they were there, but Elimelech dies. So now Naomi is there with her two sons. Her two sons marry two of the Moabite women, who we know as Orpah and Ruth. Is anybody in here named Orpah before I make this? I'm not going to make a joke. Anyway, it's Orpah and Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and then the scriptures say that both of Naomi's sons die. So she's lost her husband, lost both of her boys, and now she has two daughter-in-laws. She hears, I don't know how it gets there through the grapevine or whatever, but she hears that God is visiting his people. Basically saying God is visiting the land that they left and he's feeding them. And so she says, we're going to go back. So her, Orpah, and Ruth start the journey back to Bethlehem. Along the way, three times that we'll read in that scripture leading up to verse 15, Naomi is trying to get the girls just to go back because she's not sure what she has for them or whatever, but she starts making up crazy excuses. Are you expecting me to have more sons at my age? And then she says, well, what if I did have sons? Are you actually going to wait until they get old enough that you can marry? And she's going through all these things saying, go back to your families, go back to your gods and all that. And finally, Orpah just says, well, I'm going to go back. And she kisses Naomi goodbye. But the scriptures say that Ruth clung to her, okay? Just held on to her. So let's look at it. Now we're at verse 15. It says this, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return with your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And may the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything be death, but death parts from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said, no more. Now, Naomi has just woken up to Ruth's desire to remain and wanting God's best for her life. Here's the statement. Ruth wasn't going anywhere. She had made up her mind. She had just seen Naomi go through the worst experiences of her life. Lost her husband and then lost her two boys in a land that was not hers. Now, I don't do this a lot, but when you read a scripture, sometimes you don't catch things the first time when you read it. And I've read Ruth many times. But I finally, this message, put myself in the place of Naomi, where Elimelech, Elimelech dies, loses her two boys, and I start thinking, what if I lost my wife and then lost all three of my kids? How devastating that would have been. And Ruth has just seen her go through this, but she knew that Naomi's heart was always God's. And Ruth knew her breakthrough was going to be walking through this with Naomi and ultimately experiencing blessing and breakthrough through the one true God. Now, let me make this statement. God's love is powerful and it has no boundaries. Let me say that again. That God's love is powerful and it has no boundaries. We just watched last Sunday Tampa Bay slap around the Chiefs. There's no other way to say it. Just slapped them around. It was crazy. And they're playing on this field called a football field, 120 yards long, including the end zones, and 50 yards wide, surrounded by boundary. Okay? That's why you hear the commentators saying the ball was thrown out of bounds. He ran out of bounds. He stepped out of bounds. He was knocked out of bounds. He was tackled outside the lines. The punter kicked the ball out of bounds. We know that in property, we live on a place called planet Earth. You can't go anywhere where there's not a border or a boundary. Even the oceans have their boundaries. We live in homes. We know what our fence line is, and we don't like things coming over our fence line. Relationships and life, we put boundaries on it. How many of you guys remember the book that got released just a few years ago back called Boundaries? And you know what? It was good for a lot of people, but some people went way too far with that. The Dead Sea, if you ever go to Israel with me, you go to the Dead Sea, after you get in there and kind of experience what the water feels like, the buoyancy and having fun with that, you can lay on your back and you just do your hands like this, and you're like a torpedo with no resistance. And here's the thing, right down the middle of the Dead Sea is a border. There's a boundary separating Israel from Jordan. And here's the thing, they have a lifeguard shack there, which is really funny because you can't drown in the Dead Sea. It ain't happening. But here's this guy, that's not his job. You know what happens is, he's watching you so that if you get too far to the middle of the sea, he'll start calling at you, because if you get too far, the Jordanians are going to come out in a rubber boat, pick you up, take you to their side, and it's going to cost you thousands of dollars just to get back into Israel. So he'll get on his little megaphone and go, please come back to the shore. You know, he's just trying to keep you from, you know, getting in trouble, this whole thing. But everything that I talked about, it limits us. Let me say this in a different way. God's love has no boundaries and it is limitless. That if every person in this room online that is watching this message, at the same time, if we all cried out to God, he has enough love for every one of us and he has no boundaries. The love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the way we usually read it. That love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, not arrogant or rude, but I want to look at it in the Message version. And it says it this way, starting with verse 4. That love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. That love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. It never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. The New Living Translation, look how it says it here. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through. Everybody say through. Because listen, we're talking about loving through the breakthrough. So it says endures through every circumstance. So you can replace circumstance with breakthrough. So it's saying it endures through every breakthrough. This is the word of God, making it very clear that we are to love each other through the good and the bad. The messy stuff. The hard stuff. That we are to love through the breakthrough. Not just to the wall, but we want to love them through that wall. Choose to love even when others choose not to. How many of us have done some pretty stupid things? Come on, I'm putting my hand up. I already know. Done some really dumb things. You know, I was in seventh grade. My brother was in fourth. And I've had the opportunity to live in five different states. I've lived in Arkansas, California, Oklahoma. That's where all the cheerleaders chew tobacco. I'm not kidding. Tennessee, very shortly, briefly. Texas, no, six states. And Virginia. Now, in all these states, I've experienced the four seasons. But of those four, now listen, I haven't lived in Alaska or North Dakota or Wisconsin or anything like that, but Arkansas, hands down, has had the worst winter weather I've ever experienced in my life, because you get all the snow and the sleet, but you get this ice that is just unbelievable. It breaks trees in half, snaps power lines. My best friend's dad, we were at his house. I'd spent the night that night, and we heard this humongous crash, and icicles that were like 7 feet long had pulled his gutter system down behind his house and tore it all the way off his roof. So I've seen it. I've seen this stuff. Well, one winter in Arkansas, you know, like I said, I was 12, and we decided to go over to a friend's house to play some snow football. So we go over there. He had a big front yard. We're playing football, and we're having a blast. And somebody goes, "Hey, man," and we looked over, and his driveway was clear, whatever. He says, "Let's play ice football," because his driveway had about 3 inches of ice on it. Guys, remember, stupid stuff. Remember what we're talking about? Really, really dumb stuff. Well, guys, I'll tell you, you know, when you play ice football, there's no juking. There's no, you pick a way you're going to run and just pray somebody doesn't figure out the angle, because they can't do it either. They just kind of have to pick where you're running to try to get to you. Somehow, none of us got hurt. I don't know if it was because of the 70s beanies that we used to wear. Remember those? They stuck way out. They're humongous. Jackets, whatever, and maybe being young, but none of us got hurt. So we thought it would be a great thing to do it again the next day at our house. So we get up, you know, our driveway kind of faced where the sun went. So we had about a half inch, you know, whatever. We had ice, but we wanted it to be that 2 to 3 inches, because that's what's required for ice football. So we get out there with the water hose, and my brother's got the board, and I'm watering down the driveway, because it's like 18 degrees out there, and I mean, it's starting to form. You can just see it, and he's got the board keeping the water on the driveway. Here comes my dad pulling up after work. "Boys, what are you doing?" Slams the door, and we're like, "We're going to play ice football." Like, it sounded like the greatest idea to my dad. He's like, "No," and he goes and he's throwing the water hose over and he's making us help him get the water off, and we're like confused. Listen, from 6th grade to 12th grade for me, and for my brother 3rd grade to about 10th grade, my father had some names that he used for us during that time, and what he would call us was meatheads, bucketheads, or knotheads. That's what we kind of went through the house. And so he's finishing getting the driveway back to where he thought it was normal, and he's walking through the garage. He goes, "It's like I'm raising a couple of meatheads." Do we have the patience and grace to love through the mistakes? Can we love, and can we get better at loving people? This is the type of love that 1 Corinthians is screaming out. This is the type of love that can only come from God. It's hard to explain love, or why we love, or where we find the love for something. My love for music. When I was a little guy, or when you're little dudes and you're in your car and your mom and dad's playing music, you're just kind of back there bobbing your head. You're not paying attention. You're coloring on your book or whatever. But around 7, my aunt started introducing me to some of the music she listened to. She was about 9, I don't know how many years older she is than me. And she was giving me Creedence Clearwater Revival, Black Oak Arkansas, Led Zeppelin, you know, that kind of stuff, whatever. But when I finally got some money from her birthday, I think I was 7 years old, I went out and bought my first 45s. Now, those aren't guns. If you remember these little records, man. And let me tell you what the first four that I bought. Down on the corner, Creedence Clearwater Revival. I got Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting. Locomotion by Grand Funk Railroad. And Jive Talking by the Bee Gees. All over the place. But man, I went home and played those suckers out, man. You could stack them, remember? And they'd play, and then the next one would fall. It was really cool. And anyway, when I was age 10, I got my first album. And that was Queen, News of the World. And I bought it. I remember I wanted it because it had We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions was on it. But as I listened to the entire album, let me tell you what happened to me. My love for music went different because I'm hearing harmonies that I'd never heard of before in my life. Brian May is doing things on guitars with his layering of the guitars that I'd never heard in my life. Triads, things that were going on. And I remember that as I went through, you know, there were albums. There was Van Halen's release, the first one. Then there was Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. You guys remember when that one came? Listen, Kroger, this is back in the day. You could buy records in grocery stores. And I had bought the last Off the Wall, and I was standing outside. And man, all these people were getting in there trying to find this album because it just got released. And this lady comes out, I'll give you $30 for that record. And I'm like, no, go get your own. You know, anyway, but I held on to it. And then hearing Ohio Players for the first time, going, what am I listening to? But I like it. Guys, I got into symphonies where Mozart and Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Chopin. When I heard Requiem Mass for the first time, I can't explain it. Guys, listen, I'm at age 10 listening to Queen, and I've got a lump in my throat wondering, why do I feel like I want to cry? God was setting up something. Even if it was through the music, that's not what you would hear in church. When I gave my heart to the Lord, all of a sudden my love for music took on a completely different dimension. Is everybody following me? I can't explain it. All I know is that through that time, I've learned how to play guitar. I've learned how to play drums. I've learned how to play bass. And God knew that he was going to use me to be an instrument of worship for him. That's what God wants to do. That's what God does in our lives when we're trying to explain love and he's trying to explain what God has done for us and why we need to love people through their breakthrough. Ruth is begging Naomi to continue pouring into her life. She's not letting go. She's begging Naomi to take her to where your God is, where his presence is showing up. And for a breakthrough, I need your support and I'm going to need your love. If Ruth gives up, if she returns back to Moab with Orpah, there is no story of Boaz. We don't get the picture of the kinsman redeemers. Everybody with me? That's a whole nother message. Ruth 1:18 says that Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her. Whatever love God had given Naomi for Ruth before has just instantly gone to a whole new level. When God directs us to help somebody, we need to ask God to help us be that person that can recognize the heart, listen, behind the asking, the searching, and the knocking. We talked about that last week a little bit. Wake us up, God. Just make us aware of the appointments that you're setting up for us. The people, look, not just that we're going to be loving people. Maybe God is going to send somebody to you to help love you through your breakthrough. That's just the way the Lord works. Gives us the ability to love big, and to love others when they choose not to. Leads me to the second thought, and this is this. There is a blessing in walking out life together. It is very important for me to say this to you today, that God in his love has intended us to be there for one another, to walk it out together. And that when we love somebody and we help them on their journey, that blessing will be returned. I talked very briefly on Wednesday going to the COVID ward to pray for Bill Doyle. And I shared, you know, how when I went in, she said, just keep your hands in your pocket. I felt like a little kid going to the mall. You know, keep your hands in your pockets. Don't touch anything. And I went in there and I'm praying. Well, as I start praying, I'm looking around. Nobody's paying attention. I mean, hands come out. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to pray for Bill right there. I'm looking through this glass. I can't get to him, but I'm just praying for him. Pretty soon, about 15, 20 minutes into it, I realized they are not paying attention to me. So I decided I'm going to do a horseshoe through the ward, and I prayed for every person in that COVID ward. Guys, listen. The blessing that comes from loving people, you don't do it because so that you can just see, I do it selfishly so I want to see my church grow or that God pay attention to me. Look what I'm doing for you. It's to see God do miracles in people's lives and watch the kingdom grow. Amen? So here it is. Ruth 1:19. This is what the scripture says. It says the two of them, not by themselves, they weren't solo on this. It says the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. Naomi's struggling. If you go back and read the story, Naomi gets back and people are like, Naomi, Naomi, oh, you're back. We haven't seen you in a decade. And she's like, don't call me Naomi. Remember, she's still hurting, still stinging from what life dealt them in the land of Moab. But here's the thing. Ruth knows it. The town knows it. But most importantly, God knows exactly what's going on in Naomi's life. Naomi doesn't know it yet, but God is about to do in her life, and what he's about to do is going to come from the help of the one she came to town with, and her name is Ruth. There is blessing in being there for one another, standing in the gap, understanding the heart of another human being, standing shoulder to shoulder, believing together for God's best. We need friends. Everybody online, we need family. We need each other. And here's what we know about life. Every day is different. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. There are different chapters that we are just going to have to walk through in life. Some are good and some are bad. And we will hurt, but we will also love. I'm really going to shorten this story, but I was a youth pastor, 1990, in La Mesa, California, and I got a phone call from downtown San Diego from a girl at a payphone saying she wanted to know if I would come pick her up, that she needed help, she was desperate, and so me and a youth worker got in the car, and we drove down to get her, found her. She gets in the car, and immediately our car is filled with the smell of urine. It was so bad, and we rolled down the windows, and we're trying, I'm not even playing. I was gangster leaning out the side, man, just trying to breathe on the way back to the church. And we're just trying to get back up there. And we get there and we start hearing her story. Lori takes her clothes from her and washes them, gives her some of her clothes. And she starts telling us she had escaped her mom and dad, who were heavy into the satanic church, running for her life because she knew when she turned 16 there was going to be a ritual that was going to go down. And she was fearful. Got out on the streets, got addicted to drugs and alcohol, and she goes, and I think I'm demon possessed. Well, ding, you know, something goes off in my head. I'm like, okay, this is going to be, could be a long day or night. I didn't know what was going to happen. So we call Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge says, yes, we do have room for her, but we can't take her till Thursday. So this is Tuesday, so we knew we had two nights with her. First night, I told Lori, go to bed. I got her. I'll stay in the living room with her while she sleeps on her futon. And I'll admit I had a fireplace poker in my hand. You know, I slept with that. I'm not gonna act like I was. Anyway, sure enough, man, she goes to sleep, and about 2 a.m. she starts groaning and moaning, and I'm hearing about 6 different voices coming out of her. And man, I was like, oh, you know, I was ready. Anyway, so the morning comes, didn't get a lot of sleep. Wednesday, I call Teen Challenge, and they said, yeah, sorry, we still can't take her to Thursday. So we took her to a youth service. Had about 60 kids, and we had a great service, and we brought in, and she answers to the altar call. She comes down. Guys, as soon as we put our hands on her, she went stiff as a board and went completely into demon mode. And I mean, she is growling and voices and spitting and throwing up and kicking my wife, threatening she's going to kill my wife, she's going to kill me, and talking sexual to me and all this. And I had 4 of my kind of heavier, bigger guys just holding her down. And we just began to call all of the demons out of her in the name of Jesus. One at a time, they came out of her, until about 1.5 hours later, she lets out this loud squeal and just lays down and starts whimpering and just crying, almost in a joy and peaceful cry. Amen? Guys, listen to this. We put her on the bus the next day, demon-free, new future to go into for her to pursue, off to Teen Challenge. And let me tell you what happened. God, remember, we're talking about the blessing. Remember, we love people through, but there's a blessing that comes full circle. The youth in the city start hearing about what happened at our services. We went from 60 to the next Wednesday, we had over 100 kids. And we just continued, bam, 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 growing and growing. Because guys, check this out right here. People want to be where God is. Remember in the scripture, the only reason they were going back to Bethlehem was because they heard God was visiting his people, and not only that, he was feeding them. It's Valentine's Day, so I have the mic. I get to tell Lori I love her. And I do. I really love her. Look at this picture right here. This is my wife and my kids. That's 3 days before COVID hit Lori and I, so we looked a lot better than we did about a month after that. But anyway, that's my wife and my beautiful kids. And I want to break down because love, walking life through her, not doing it alone, gave me different definitions of love throughout our dating and married life. So when I first started dating her, I was in this like puppy love stage where I kind of feel funny inside, you know, don't know what to really say about it. And, you know, I want to tell people, but I'm kind of embarrassed. And then we expressed our love to each other for the first time. I never told a girl I loved her, and she had never told a guy, and we told each other. And her recount of the thing was that I ran around a 400-yard perimeter shouting, Lori said, I love you to me. Anyway, I don't remember that, but that's what she says happened. Then we get engaged. Okay, now it's serious. That's next level stuff to let people know that we really are in love. And then we say our vows. Everybody knows we're committed. We love each other until we die. And then we have our next really big expression of love, and that's being able to have children together, okay? And, you know, Chase, he is turning 28 this year. Sky's turning 24. And then Ryder, who's here on the front, has just turned 21. And God blessed us with an amazing life to go through with each other. And guys, listen, we've had some tough stuff, just things that have happened that we couldn't control and things that we learned in marriage and all this stuff, but we were together. We were blessed being able to walk each other through some of these breakthroughs that we needed in our lives. I remember when all three of my kids were born, each one, as soon as they took their first breath and I saw them, they all three took a piece of my heart. God blessed us. And we got to do it together. All of this, the ability to love, the ability to do life through the good and the bad, to have the capacity to hold the love needed to see someone else through a breakthrough, all of it comes from God. Think about how the enemy hates seeing unity. Think about how the devil loves seeing people not see or have breakthrough in their lives, where he wants to hold them there. And if there is a way to distract or to discourage, he will do so. In 2004, we moved into Livermore, California. We were on this cul-de-sac, had our dream home, beautiful area where we were, and we had four neighbors. There's five of us. They found out I was a minister, and I didn't know how, you know, you never know how people will go sometimes with relationships with that, but we all just loved each other. I was helping my next-door neighbor with his marriage, and I ended up marrying my neighbors that were two doors over, and they had a son that I barely ever saw because he was always off to college. So I had a great relationship. God was using this to lead them to Christ. Guys, so check this out. I go to Home Depot. We're doing a paint project. I got two cans of paint in this hand, two cans of paint in this hand. I've got paint stuff under my arm, you know, and I'm walking out, and I hear somebody behind me as I'm walking out go, seriously? And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if he's talking to me. And then the guy goes, and he goes like this, he goes, seriously, dude, it's going to take you this long? So that time I flinched, and he goes, yeah, I'm talking to you, you blankety blank, whatever. So guys, I just got out the door, and I slammed the paint down. I dropped the stuff, and I turn around, and I go, you seriously want to do this right now? I was mad, and I was just seeing red, you know. And all of a sudden, the red started to fade, and I see this guy smiling, looking at me, and it was my neighbor's son who worked at Home Depot, and he goes, what's up, tough guy? And he comes up and he hugs me and starts bouncing me around. And he's a big dude. He goes, I thought you were going to knock me out. And I go, yeah. And we're laughing. And guys, as soon as I said bye and everything, I felt like an idiot. Is everybody with me? Listen, I mean, I was an associate pastor at International Christian Center in San Leandro. Am I going to be in the paper for fighting a guy at Home Depot? So I get in the car. And it really messed me up because I really quickly realized I was not mirroring Christ's love. It made me pray that I would always do my best to function at the highest level of love. Listen, guys, love has to outweigh the urge to defend our pride. It has to outweigh the desire to get back at somebody, to get us past the place of being too comfortable in the kingdom. See, listen, the kingdom of God doesn't grow. It's simple math if we don't love each other. It just doesn't happen. And we need each other. We need people to do life with. I want to experience the blessings of God found in relationship. And Naomi and Ruth had found this in relationship. They found support for each other. Let me say it this way. We are better together. Give me an amen. Here's the last thought. Never be ashamed to glean from the field of God. And this is speaking to anyone this morning that needs a breakthrough in their life. Ruth 2:2, it says this. This is Ruth talking. Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. You see, gleaning, a lot of you know this, gleaning was a law that God gave to Moses years back, that it was to take care of the poor and needy in times of harvest. And here's the thing about gleaning. Gleaning is hard work. It's not easy. You would think, well, they've already done most of the work. No, no, they go in and they're finding the best of what's left. And what they, and a gleaner, and what I read about this in studying is that once it goes in their hands, they're not dropping it. You know, there's no careless dropping of this. And then they're taking it to the threshing floor, which is a whole nother message, but I don't have time to go into that. Here's the picture of somebody so desperate to see change, to be where God is obviously blessing his people, that she humbles herself just to be able to have some of the scraps of the leftover blessing. Amen? Here's the truth. And I've said this earlier about God's love having no boundaries and it's limitless. God has more than enough for all of us or who might call for him. Don't go out here saying pastors preaching heresy and all this and we can only get the scraps. I'm telling you, I know that God has enough for every person in this room, but it's the story of the humility that I want you to grab. This is what I'm wanting you to grasp. It's the act of being humble enough to say this, God, even if it's just the scraps from your field to get me closer to you in my breakthrough, then please allow me to glean from you. Look, it's that image of just following Jesus. And he sits down and dust is everywhere from his feet, just sitting there and just saying, just let me have the dust from Jesus' feet. Just so that I would have something from him. So here it is. Here's the picture. Gleaning from the field of God. What is that? Well, here's one. How about if we glean from the field of his word? Knowing where what you believe. It's where we get to know God more personal. This is where we find out what God is saying to his people. Or maybe you go and glean from the field of his promise, where we hear the promises of that he is with you, that he goes before you, promises of healing, deliverance, that his strength is sufficient for you, and that he will come again. Listen, no tomb, no cross, no virgin birth. Listen, there is no plan of salvation, but because all three of these did happen, there's still one more promise that's going to take place, a big one. And that is the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't just tear that out of the Bible. We can't tear it out because it might sound weird to others. We are believing, our hope is that he is going to soon return for his church. Give me an amen. So then you can also glean from the field of his spirit. It's where his presence is. Remember, that's why they left Moab. They're going back to where the presence of God is showing up. That's why I hope that you're here today, is that you want to be in the presence of the Lord. Gifts, wisdom, knowledge, leading and direction, the ability to love beyond myself and to feed so that the Spirit can be in me. Catch this, you guys. When we are humble, when we do not care about how it might look or what people might say, God will not only bless us, but he will use us to be a blessing to others. Naomi has stepped up to care for Ruth, to point her to the one true God, to bring Ruth to her new home, to be a source of hope and support as Ruth pursues her breakthrough. Now, Ruth's act of humility, willing to take on the shame of gleaning, God is going to be a blessing to both Ruth and Naomi. So an amazing picture. So let's just get into scripture here. Coming to a close very quickly. Ruth 2, 10 through 12. Boaz comes onto his field and he sees Ruth. And this is where this kind of takes place. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done. A full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Worship team, if you want to come on up. If you really look at the scripture, and this is an amazing scripture, because here's the thing. What does Ruth do at the very beginning? She bows in humility. She's in the field of God. She's gleaning. She knows this is where the presence of God is. She knows that that's where the blessing is. Here comes the master of that land, and she bows in humility. And what I want you to notice in the scripture, it's Boaz, Boaz, Boaz after that. And what is he doing? He represents her kinsman redeemer. Whole nother message. Recounts the blessing that Ruth has been to Naomi. He declares blessing over her, talking about payment and reward. And he declares that she has found the one true God she has been longing for. Ruth's decision to humble herself and glean from a field of blessing set her and Naomi's breakthrough into motion. And I want you to capture this picture if you've never looked at it this way. The very field that Ruth is working so hard just to get the scraps from, one day she's going to own that field. Boaz is just, he kind of gives us that Old Testament picture of the kinsman redeemer that we find in Jesus. But she's working hard, just being humble, being where God is, even if it's only to get the scraps, but one day she will own that field. Isn't that the God we serve? God isn't just going to see your breakthrough, see you break through your circumstance. He wants to bless you on the other side. Our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, has paid it all so that we could find breakthrough in any circumstance and be blessed beyond our comprehension. Look at the 3 points one more time as I wrap this up. Choose to love, even when others choose not to. That there is a blessing in walking life out together. Better together. We are better together. And never be ashamed to glean from the field of God. And I want to challenge anyone here today. If you are praying for a breakthrough. 2 Sundays ago, you know, there's stuff that Lori and I are praying for. You know, Lori just looked over at me and she goes, "Will you go down front and pray with me?" You know, and I knew what we were going to pray for, and I said, "Absolutely." So we went down to the altar, and we prayed together. This is what I want to encourage you to do. If you're here with your husband or your wife, you're here with a friend, even if you're here by yourself, just understand that you're not alone, that you are where God is, that today is going to require us to be humble in a way, because I believe that as I begin to pray and I ask you to stand, some of us just need to grab the hand of the person standing next to us, or you need to turn around and get somebody else's attention just to agree with you, or even better, just find a way to come down the altar. We had people at the altars, we had people standing, but listen, you're here for a reason, and the reason is that God is wanting to see a breakthrough in your life. God is going to use you to love somebody through their next breakthrough. And so without hesitation, as soon as I pray, if you're sitting here, you say, "Pastor Matt, that's me." If you're sitting there with somebody that you can grab their hand to stand with you, just stand where you are. If you want to come down the altars, you can too, but I'm going to pray. God, thank you. Now, Lord, as we begin to stand, dear Lord, just the act of humility, that Father, that you see, you know what we need. You know how you're going to use us to help somebody else. But Lord, we stand in humility just to say, God, can we please just glean from your field? God, thank you for somebody to walk life out with. Or you're praying, God, I need somebody to walk this life out with. But Lord, as they stand, I just pray that even now, that Lord, that they would feel in their spirit that you're already moving on their behalf. You're already sending somebody in their path that they're going to help, that they're going to be a blessing to. Father God, if there's some, dear God, that are still kind of trying to dig themselves out of mistakes that they made, maybe even 5 or 10 years ago, but they still feel like they're paying for it, that God, that as they stood, you have begun to break those chains off their lives. That Father God, we have some people that are standing in the gap for those that are suffering with this sickness, this virus. And that in the name of Jesus, that there would be healing, and that they would find that healing that is in your wings. Father, Lord, we just thank you. If you're standing, just lift your hands real quick. Let's just lift our hands. In fact, everybody that's in the house, just put your hands up for a second. Lord, we humbly lift our hands because we need you. We want to be used for you, dear Lord. And so, God, as we lifted our hands, I pray that you will anoint them from their fingertips, the top of their heads, down to the soles of their feet, that, Father, that you are going to bless them. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know who you're going to put in our lives. You don't know who we need to be in our lives, but we don't know. I mean, but God, you do, and you're going to help us. You're going to set us on the path that we need to be on, and, Lord, we are going to experience breakthrough. Harvest as a church, dear Lord. We are praying for breakthrough to happen on this property, in the lives of the people that attend, and that we are going to see your kingdom grow and revival explode through this place. Who's it going to be, God? Who are you going to bring into your house? Lord, we just want to be ready to love them through their breakthrough. So we lift our hands and say thank you. We lift our hands and say thank you for the blessing. And dear God, we lift our hands for breakthrough and to say thank you for using us to love somebody else. And we ask this in your holy and precious name, and let the church say amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Why don't we all stand together as the worship team leads us through a song.